This is the Jay Peroni Show. Here's your host, Jay Peroni.
This is the Jay Peroni Show, where faith and money intersect. A show where you learn how to control your money before it controls you. Come discover ways to unlock faith-based wealth by placing principles before profits. I am your host, Jay Peroni.
Here is Jay's appearance on Mornings with Lori and Larry that took place on Wednesday, February 11th.
It's 8 minutes after the hour on a wonderful Wednesday, a wealth-building Wednesday. We got some good advice for you coming up.
Yeah, we could use some wealth-building, particularly in this economy. So who better to talk to than a man who's been on the program several times? We're glad to have him back. He's a financial planner. He's also the author of the book, The Faith-Based Millionaire. He followed that up with his newest book, The Faith-Based Investor. Please welcome Jay Peroni back to the program. As always, great to have you here, Jay.
Hey, Lori and Larry. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's good to have you. So what are you trying to get people to learn in this new book?
Really just taking a look at this troubled economy that we're in right now. When I wrote The Faith-Based Millionaire, we were just starting the beginning phases of the downturn in the economy. So very quickly, I wanted to get out my second book so that readers could have some valuable advice in these troubled economic times. And really, the book looks at growing, protecting and sharing wealth in uncertain economic times.
Yeah, your version of GPS, you know, the global positioning system. You bring it down to finances.
Yeah, basically down to finances. I think that if we follow some basic strategies, it's going to keep us out of trouble, just like a GPS. You know, you may be traveling from here to Florida, and all of a sudden you take a wrong turn. Well, what does the GPS do? It recalculates, gets you right back on track, and that's really what I set out to do in the faith-based investor.
I want to jump to the protecting part because it seems like that's what we're all doing right now. We're not spending, and that's how we're protecting our assets. Do you advocate that?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, a lot of people don't realize that during the Great Depression, more millionaires were made than any era in history. And the people that made the money were those that had money set aside. Because I still think we're not out of the woods. I think the worst is still yet to come, unfortunately. I don't like to be
Thanks, a
doom and gloom kind of person, but I think we're going to see a lot more trouble. And those that have cash on the sidelines are going to be able to buy assets at deep value. You know, they're going to be able to find things very, very low prices. So the more money you have in cash, the better you're going to be.
Right. It's bargain basement if you've got the cash on hand.
Yeah.
And all these people who are taking money out of 401ks, and when you think about it, whatever money you're putting into a 401k, you're buying stocks or whatever's in there at bargain basement prices too that hopefully will go up again.
Exactly. The problem is the people that are within 3 to 5 years of retirement, those are the people that are going to have to pay attention a little bit more because I think this is going to take some time to get out of. And, you know, all this money that the government is printing is putting us into uncharted territory. We've never been here before. If you look at from, you know, basically the beginning of time to 1960, our spending was pretty much, you know, it was in control and we were printing money and doing things. But the last 40 years, it really has increased sharply. And just this new, you know, stimulus packages and all this printing of money that we're doing is just really off the charts. And it's very worrisome for me.
Well, that's a real mantra coming from the Obama administration. So he says the government is really the only entity left that has that type of financial power to stimulate the economy that the private sector can't. Do you agree with that? Is this something that the government has to do?
I don't. I mean, it starts with individuals. Okay. The government has never saved us. It's never worked before. I mean, you look at the Great Depression. You know, I hate to say it, but it was the World War that got us out of the Great Depression. You know, all the spending that was done really didn't have that much of an effect. In Japan, you know, the same thing. They tried stimulating their economy, and it did not work. It starts with the individuals. And if individuals are not getting back to basics and are not out there spending money, it doesn't matter how much money you throw out there, it's not going to work.
Well, with the job losses, a lot of people are saying, I don't have anything to protect. What advice would you give them?
I mean, if you have nothing to protect, I mean, you know, really it's getting back to, you know, the basics. And really there are only two sides of the balance sheet. You've got income and expenses. And I mean, if you've reduced expenses as much as you can, you've got to find some ways to create income. And I always say, that, you know, a lot of people are investing in the stock market. You shouldn't be. You know, there's certain people that shouldn't be investing. It really should be investing in themselves, getting a better education, looking for opportunities in business. I mean, that's where most wealth is created, is in individual businesses, small businesses, large businesses. That's where wealth really is created. It's not so much in the stock market. It's in how do you create value for others. If you find a way to create values for others, you're going to be wealthy.
Yeah, and even in tough times, I mean, it's possible to build yourself up. You've got the great story of Adam in your book about this guy who made himself homeless to prove a point, that he said, I can go out and get a job. I can wind up with a place to live, you know, and a car and money in the bank, and he improved on it, the goal he set out to do.
Yeah, I mean, Adderton Shepherd, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, right in my neck of the woods in Massachusetts, you know, basically made himself homeless and without knowing anyone, basically was able to save money, get an apartment, and, you know, just following some basic financial strategies, which is spend less than you make. I mean, it seems like common sense, but as Americans, we get accustomed to, you know, we have to have this, we have to have that, and you got to get back to the basics. What do you really need? You need food, water, and shelter. I mean, aside from that, you know, some clothing maybe.
Yeah, right.
But aside from I mean, what else do you really need?
And FamilyNet TV and radio.
Yeah. And Sirius Radio. Let's go back to the stimulus package.
Yes.
You got a solution for us? What can we do?
I mean, I really don't have. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, this is such a deep-rooted problem. And, you know, the gentleman earlier, you know, Randy talked about Republicans not having the answers, and I think no one has the answers. And the problem that we're seeing right now is that people are coming out every day and they're saying, okay, we're going to try this. We've never tried it before, but we're going to do this. And the problem with that is it creates fear, you know, that there's no plan. And right now we've basically given the government a blank check to go out and say, you know, whatever you think is going to work, you know, try it. And having that blank check is going to lead to, you know, some social programs and all these other things that you know, the government's been wanting to implement for a long period of time. It's just very worrisome for me.
Well, you have some strict biblical principles in your book about how we can manage our resources, manage our finances. You say there are no fewer than like 2,300 references in Bible verses that talk about money, that talk about finances. And you say basically, you know, we've got to be good stewards of what we have.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, is if, you know, you're not spending money responsibly. You know, I talk about it in the book. How can you expect God to bless that? You know, when you're making foolish decisions, it's like our government. You know, we gave them, you know, billions and billions of dollars with this TARP money, and we can't even account for where that money went. And here they are asking for more and more money to, you know, to do the same thing over and over again. It's, you know, you've got to learn to handle money responsibly before you can expect to get more. You know, you look at all these people that have had wealth, you know, movie stars, you know, sports stars, and look at how many of these people went bankrupt. It's because they never learned how to handle money before they had money.
And so on the individual side, you say in your book that the two things that really reveal the type of person you are, the priorities you have in life, are how you spend your time and how you spend your money.
Absolutely.
So how can we spend our time and money wisely, particularly in tough times, so that we can not only hold on to what we have, but hopefully grow what we have to give us some security in the future?
Well, I have a magic formula in the book, and I really call it purpose plus passion equals performance. And it's looking at your priorities. What's really important to you? If you say God's your number one priority, are you spending your time and your money, you know, helping further his kingdom? If you're not, you're obviously not living your purpose plus passion equals performance formula. So it's really getting back to the basics and looking at what are your priorities. And once you figure out what those priorities are, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to spend more time doing God's work. I want to spend more time with my friends. And once you kind of figure out what that is, and then you also have to figure out how can you make money. I mean, obviously you need money to be able to, sure, to fund your lifestyle and things you want to do. So it's finding out what, you know, what you're really made to do. And there are a lot of resources out there where you can figure out, you know, what am I good at? You know, what are some things that I can do to help others? And when you figure that out, you really can and have the magic formula working to your advantage.
So your purpose in life really doesn't have to have anything to do with your career or what you choose to do with your life to make money. You may be making money in one realm, but your real purpose in life may be something else that you can use your money to forward.
Absolutely. And that's what I talk about in the book, is really having wealth with a purpose. A lot of people say, you know, money is the root of all evil. Well, no, it's the love of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, money can be used for many good purposes. I mean, you know, money builds ministries. It helps build churches. It helps, you know, feed the poor and you know, a lot of people look at money and they shun on it. And they say, you know, you're wealthy, you're a bad person. Well, look at the Bible. You know, some of the most wealthy people, you know, some of the most fantastically wealthy people in the Bible, you know, were also very faithful as well. So you can have faith and wealth.
Hey, we've got some copies of the Faith-Based Investor to give away. How you earn one of these is you call us and you ask Jay a question. Maybe you want to know how to be a better investor. Oh, you can handle them all. Our toll-free number is 1-877-FAMNET1. That's 1-877-326-6381. And our phone lines are open, so give us a call. What I'd like to know is, if we're a little scared to invest right now, should we just save our money?
Well, I think what we're going to see is we are going to see a rebound. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I think what we're going to see...
How long do you think? Because you said we're not at the worst point.
No, I don't think we
How
are.
How much longer?
I think it's going to take, you know, probably another 3 or 4 years before we start to see...
3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
Wow. Just
based on what I'm seeing with demographics, with the baby boomers spending, you know, kind of hitting its peak, and, you know, it's going to take some time for this to work itself out.
You say plan your investment, though. You know, more than anything else right now, we've got to plan for the future. We can't go into this thing, you know, cavalierly or without a plan. Plan your investments, know exactly how you want to allocate your wealth, and, you know, and make sure you've got a financial outline.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people look at investing, and they're really gambling. I mean, you know, what gambling is, you know, you're basically, you know, handing your money over, hoping it's going to work out.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand where their money's going, what it's being invested in. And to me, it's the equivalent of gambling.
And that's where the purpose you talk about in life, too. Know what you're investing in. Sometimes you're investing in companies that are in direct conflict to your purpose in life or the morals you have or the standards you set for yourself. And you need to do a little investigating to know where your money is going once you turn it over to some 401k.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a pro-life person, are you supporting pro-abortion companies? I mean, there are a lot of people that are working truly against themselves when they look at their money.
I bet a lot of people would be surprised to realize exactly what's in their portfolio and how many of the things, you know, that they have in their investment portfolio are things they wouldn't go out and buy themselves if they were given the opportunity.
Yeah, how do you find that out, Jay?
There are a lot of resources, and we'll talk about that, you know, in our next segment about some resources. There's some, you know, research that you can do to look at specifically if you're investing in mutual funds, where those mutual funds are invested. So we can talk about that after the break.
All right, we'll do that. We do need to take a break. We want to give you Jay's website. It's jayperoni.com. We'll be back and take some of your calls right after these messages.
The book is called The Faith-Based Investor by Jay Peroni. You followed up on his great seller, The Faith-Based Millionaire. So we all want to be millionaires. We all want to invest wisely. Two good books to read.
It's 23 minutes after the hour, and we're talking wealth building. We've got some callers who want to get a copy of Jay Peroni's new book, The Faith-Based Investor. And let's go first to Nelson from Ontario. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, Nelson.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Good.
What's your question for Jay?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm a first-time listener.
Oh, great.
I just discovered your program. I got my Sirius at Christmas time.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm in a kind of a unique situation. I'm a truck driver, and I have the unique situation of being affected by both economies, really. Like, in Canada, it's not as bad, but it's bad, but I'm more affected by the U.S. economy because I cross into the U.S. Daily. I'm 26 years old. I have a daughter. My wife stays at home. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting our second in a
Congratulations.
Private. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. My question is, we're going to come into a pretty substantial tax return.
Okay.
And we don't have a lot of debt. We have just a very small credit card debt. We have a car loan and another consolidation loan that was a dumb move that I made. Anyways, it's done now. but we don't have a lot of debt, just our house and those few debts.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take some time off when my next child is born. We don't know, boy or girl, but this tax return, should I use that and just put that in a savings?
Yeah,
and just use that for that?
Do you have a safety net right now? I mean, typically, you know, what I advise people before even looking at investing is having at least a minimum of 3 to 6 months worth of savings, and that's your take home pay. So if you look at what you take home on a monthly basis and multiply that times at least 3 to 6, that should be a beginning point of what you should have set aside in reserves. And, you know, if your job is a little more volatile and you're not sure, you know, if you're going to have a job, you may want to have at least a year's worth of salary set aside in a cash reserve. So that's very wise thinking of what you're thinking of doing with that tax return.
Nelson, are you an owner-operator or do you drive for somebody else?
No. No, I don't own a truck. No, I drive a company truck. But I have the fortune that I'm driving the new company truck, so I have the I hate to use the word favoritism, but this truck has a big payment.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
we wish you all the best, and we're going to get one of Jay's new books out to you today.
Oh, thank you. God bless you.
You too.
You said something in your book that was a little surprising to me. You said perhaps the bigger risk of starting a business in these troubled times is not starting one. Now's the time to work for yourself, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, some of the greatest businesses were launched during recession periods. I mean, you look at Microsoft, Dell, some of these companies that, during our last recession were actually launched. And if you can find ways to add value, it doesn't matter what the economy is doing. If you can find value in delivering and helping other people, you can make money.
There were three guys in Iowa who had lost their jobs, and they got together and started a pizzeria.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. One guy worked for Siemens for 33 years. He cashed in his 401ks to invest in this thing, and they're doing okay. You know, they had no security in their jobs. Now they own a pizzeria, and they're doing all right.
Well, think of all the bad service that you're getting. You know, it's unfortunate. I mean, you go into these places, and you're just getting horrible service. If you can find ways to deliver quality products and quality service, people are always looking for that.
You know, there is a lot of bad service. And I was thinking maybe one silver lining of this economic situation is those companies that cheat you and rob you and treat you mean won't be around any longer.
Because, you know, what happens is nobody says anything. You know, it's just what you're used to. You know, I'm used to people treating me bad. So I'm going to keep doing business with them because everyone else treats me bad. Well, what if there was someone that actually treated you nice?
You don't have to be treated that way. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got another first-timer. It's Christine from Pennsylvania. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hey, Christine.
Hey. What's your question for Jay?
Here's our situation. My husband was recently laid off. He was a research scientist. He's 60 years old, and they let him retire and gave him a severance. We got the golden parachute.
Good for you.
But we have two mortgages. We have a house because we're also fairly recently married, 3 years, and so we still have his big mortgage, which we almost owe the full amount on.
Oh, wow.
We have my smaller house, which we live in. The severance pay, we have no money in savings, just poor money management on our parts. But I have a small income, and my husband has the retirement as of now, and he will continue to look for work, consulting or teaching. But that's not a guarantee. It's a little slimmer than even he thought. But we have this severance pay that is enough to cover the mortgage on one house, the small house that we live in.
Yep.
And I was wondering, we're just looking for advice because I feel very strongly it's almost to the dollar that would cover this mortgage. And do you recommend, say, he wants to put that in the bank for a cushion, but to me, that's not enough of a cushion for our debt ratio, and I think it would be better to free up cash flow by not having a mortgage and be more secure that way. That is my question for you.
If you spend all that money and you have no cash savings, where do you go next for, you know, an emergency? You know, I always think you should have some type of cash reserves. And again, it's that 3 to 6 month cushion. And then paying off some of that mortgage would make sense. But if you don't have that cushion, you're going to need, you know, in the case of an emergency, a place to tap into. And if you don't have a place to tap into, you're going to be in trouble. So I would still make sure you have a cushion and then start attacking the debt once you have the cushion.
Are you able to rent either property out, Christine?
Well, we have his house is very fixed up. We're reluctant to do that. We just need to do a little more work to get it on the market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we could do that. My concern is that we would go through this money. And also paying half the mortgage still leaves us with the mortgage payment. That's all. And also we would have more equity in the home for an emergency. Like we would have, that would be our emergency fund.
Yeah.
We would probably be able to save some money.
Yeah, but, you know, are you able to get a loan? You know, these are the types of issues, especially if, you know, your husband's not working and you've got a small income. Yeah, you may be able to tap into that home equity, but if you can't get the loan, then that could be a problem. I still recommend...
Well, I have the line of credit already.
Okay. But that can be pulled, too, as well at any time. Banks are doing that now where, you know, all of a sudden you have a line of credit and then they're canceling it. So you've got to be very cautious with that, train of thought there.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to send you this book, Christine. Hopefully it'll answer some questions for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. And now let's go to Hazel. Hello, Hazel.
Hey, Hazel.
Hello, you got a very active line again this morning. That's the reason I like your show. It's not some type of dramatic show that you're putting it on. This is real life here.
It is. What's your question for Jay?
Okay, bunch of hooey-hooey's here. I'm disabled, all the type of garbage. I get very fixed income. My son is sick, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I build some type of cash back up for him when I go? He might have colon cancer, stuff like this. Father, when he divorced me, he took all the savings, closed our accounts like you should have, put it on his name. So all I have is my disability. But I'm trying to figure out how do I and what should I look to build something up for my kid. Because, ma'am, I'm 62 years old and I won't be here long. How do I build up for my kid?
Yeah, I mean, you're in a very tough situation when you're on a fixed income. I mean, I talk about this in the faith-based investor is there are two sides to the equation. You've got your expense side and you've got your income side. Aside from looking at your monthly expenses and saying, okay, what are some things that I can live without? And really just looking at the fundamentals of, you know, you need food, you need a place to live, you need clothing. But aside from that, what are some things that you can get rid of that you can free up some money in your budget? If you don't have any places, I mean, there's no magic there aside from getting some additional income or finding ways to make more money. So it would be really those two avenues is, again, trying to reduce the expenses as much as possible and then finding some ways to make some additional income so that you can afford to, you know, start putting some money aside.
Well, no, I'm not talking about myself. I have no problem with what I have coming in for my own upkeep, you want to put it that way. I'm trying to figure out, do you have any recommendations you would might make for me to put for my son? Because like I said, I'm 60 years old. He might have colon cancer.
You mean like
he
a trust fund? Like setting up a fund for him?
I'm not sure I want to trust the bank for the stupidity they're showing right now. Not willing to give the money back to the people to help them. So you have anything that I could turn to for putting something for my son? Because I can't go to the bank because banks are no longer trustable.
Estate planning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would see a good estate planning attorney. Estate planning attorney can really look at some things that they can set up, you know, whether it be a trust or some other types of instruments. So,
well, thanks for your call, Hazel. And let's try to get Chuck from Pennsylvania, who's also a first-timer in, before you leave, Jay.
Look at this.
Chuck, what's your question?
Well, you know, Lori, I don't really have a question. I'm sorry to go way off the subject, but I just wanted to share with you all and get a man's name on your prayer wall. I just, for the first time, actually shared the gospel of Christ with another man.
Oh, praise God. And
congratulations.
It was so exciting. I had tears in my eyes when we were done, and I found myself in a quiet room by myself and on my knees just thanking him for opening that door and giving me that opportunity and asking him to start therapy and asking him to, you know, nurture that seed that I just helped to plant. And I just wanted to get Harry's name on your prayer wall. He's understanding, he's open to the gospel, and just a lot of prayer is needed to bring this man to Christ.
All right, Chuck, thanks for your call. What we're going to do is, you know what, we're going to send you a copy of Jay's book, but we're also going to send you something special for Harry.
All right.
So thank you for doing it. All right, Jay, about 30 seconds. What do you want to tell us?
Well, if you want to learn more about faith-based investing and how to incorporate your faith into your financial plan, you can still download the Faith-Based Millionaire absolutely free at www.jayperoni.com. So people
wow,
can go
nice
there
gift.
And you can listen to the Jay Peroni Show. I have some great guests coming up. I have Garrett Gunderson, the author of Killing Sacred Cows, is going to be on my show in a couple weeks. So stay tuned.
Well, that sounds great.
I like the concept of good, bad, and ugly debt. You know, the everybody hates debt, but some debt isn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, if it's making you money, debt can be a good thing. But when you're not getting any value from it, it's a bad thing. And, you know, especially if you're consuming it, if you're going out to dinner, charging, you know, sure. and you consume it, you have nothing to show for it. So that's what I call ugly debt.
But like housing debt, you know, that'll build equity. That's good debt.
It can be. Yeah. As long as the house values are going
right
up.
Yeah, in this market. Hey, Jay, thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for writing these books. Hey, we'll be back with Workplace Wisdom right after this.